Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, and we ask that you would speak into our hearts and our minds now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I first read this rich passage, it's amazing. I was sat in a car, in a cold car, in a car park, and this man walked in front of me. He basically took all his kit. He'd been at work all day, and he'd put his kit in his car and drove off again. Well, over the next hour, I saw many other players as well. Well, as I sat there in my car, thinking about my son, all 6'4" of him, in the middle of the Harlequins training camp. He was there, having waltzed in, rubbing shoulders with the rugby players from the first team. He had chatted to Dom Brandt earlier on in the day and Marcus Smith. He has access to the club physios. He has access to the players. He has access to the coaches. He is loving it. And he is surrounded by inspirational players, heroes of the game that he is living up to or wants to live up to in his rugby. That is the context in which we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to feel as excited about being here in Hebrews chapter 10, surrounded, first of all, reminded in chapter 1 to 9, reminded that actually Jesus has given us access to all areas. We don't need to sit outside in the car park, but actually we could come into the Holy of Holies. That access to all areas has been granted by Jesus. Chapter 1 to 9, it is rich, and we've spent weeks looking at it particularly. And we've got ahead of us in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be surrounded by those heroes of the faith. So we're going to be inspired and encouraged and reminded. But we're also going to see how quite human they are, and they're not as perfect as sometimes we think they are. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Open up your Bibles and join with me as we think about how we may encourage one another and inspire one another, particularly at this time. Well, it's all grounded with the inspiration and the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And notice, it starts verse 19, "Therefore, since we..." And it repeats itself, "since we," or because, and it all starts with Jesus. "Since we," verse 19, "have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." Jesus has done this already. He has given us that access to all. It carries on. "Since we," verse 21, "we have a great high priest over the house of God." This is the context. We have been given the access all areas path by Jesus, the perfect priest, the perfect sacrifice. He has given us perfect access. The question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that perfect access that you have? Well, over this last week, I've been watching a bit of Sherlock Holmes. It's been great fun. One of the episodes has Hounds of the Baskervilles. And Sherlock and Watson waltz into this high security research facility, waving his brother's ID card. The doors open. He has free access in, and no one asks a question. No one bats an eyelid. And it's at that point that Sherlock says, "Look, Mycroft doesn't just work for the government. He is the government." And with that in mind, how much more true is that of Jesus Christ, who has given us access to all areas? And he is not just working for God, he is God. He is God. So what encouragement is there that we find? Well, let me give you a bit of an outline as to where this passage looks, but just say I'm going to focus on one area particularly. So Hebrews 10:18-39 talks about how Jesus is our inspiration and our foundation. We've looked at that already. 22 to 24, it then encourages us to do something. Let us, you're going to hear repeated. We're going to have then a little warning, verse 26 to 31. If we don't, what is the warning? And lastly, verse 32 to 39. Keep going, persevere, be encouraged, as the children's video showed us earlier on. Just to remind you, children, I think you've got worksheets that you could be going on and colouring in and sorting out that the youth team have already handed to you already. So, the encouragement, verse 22, let us, it just is highlighted each time. In the light of what Jesus has done, because we know what he is, we know what he has done and what he will do, we'll see little glimpses of that as we look at the let us's. Let us draw near to God, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Because of all that Jesus has done, we no longer need to be guilty. We do not need to have a guilty conscience. We need to draw near to God with that boldness, with that access to all areas. So the question is, how do you do that? How have you done that? How are we doing that today? Do you draw near to God with a sincere heart? Do you take for granted the access to all areas that you have, that you can draw near to God at any time and in any place? You do not need to go to a temple. You do not need for the high priest to enter the Holy of Holies. We have access to God now. What are the ways that we do that, knowing that we have no guilt? What are the healthy habits that you have? Daily prayer? Do you take time out and reflect and just spend time enjoying God and his character? Do you invest your relationship, your time, growing to know God more and more? Let me make a few kind of suggestions that I have enjoyed, particularly over this Lent time. Firstly, reading your Bible is a great way to get to know God. Praying, asking for God to reveal himself through his written word is a real joy. And one of the things that we've been doing is the Bible Project, reading the Bible in a year. What's been good about it is that we've read a Bible passage. There's a video to help us to understand it. But what's most encouraging is that most mornings I wake up to see Rob Dillingham's comments on his reflections on that Bible passage, how God is challenging him and encouraging him. I often then put my encouragements down as well a little bit later on. But it's so encouraging. As we draw near to God, what is God teaching you? But don't just keep it to yourselves. Share it with others. Let us spur one another on. Another way that we can enjoy the access that we have with God, this drawing near to God. Well, I'm sure you will have other ways of doing it, but invest your time and energy and effort into drawing near to God because we can. Because we can today. Secondly, let us hold unswervingly to the hope, verse 23. He is faithful. He who is promised is faithful. How are you holding firm, holding unswervingly to the hope? Are you doing that at home, in the workplace? Are you doing it at school, with neighbours? Or are you ashamed of the gospel? Has the pandemic meant that you talk less about Jesus in public, or more? When faced with persecution, as we'll see they were faced with in Hebrews, they were bold and brave, and they were being encouraged to keep going, being bold and brave, holding unswervingly, even when things are tough. Growing our knowledge of God over this Lent course, or this time of Lent, I've been spending some time in Jim Packer's book, Knowing God. Biblical theology, grasping the incarnation in a way that often we rush through at Christmas time. It's been a joy. How are you growing your understanding and knowledge and love of God this Lent? Maybe the other week, David and Elizabeth, as they showed you the book by Beckett Cook, I'm halfway through it, reading his story about how he turned to Christ, even when he apparently had it all according to the world's standards at the beginning of the book. He came to Christ and realized that that was all rubbish. They're inspirational, encouraging us. How do we hold unswervingly, even in the face of people turning around and saying, well, where was your God in this pandemic? Actually, God has been with us and continues to help us to face difficult times. And he's helped the church here as well. And they've been faced with some shocking situations. How can you spur one another on, verse 24? Let's keep going. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more. So draw near to God, draw closer to Him, stand firm and be active, spurring one another on in faith. How do you do this? How do you encourage one another? Why don't you think about today? Giving someone a phone call, maybe writing them a letter, maybe a postcard, doing something that will encourage someone else today. And not just how are you doing and it'll be great to meet with you when we're allowed to, but how are you doing spiritually? Are you making the most of this Lent? Are you growing in your knowledge and love of God? Are you joining in with the Lent course? Are there other things that we can spur one another on to? The church here needed that encouragement. Are we meeting our home groups? Are we chatting to one another, spurring one another on? I sporadically get little letters. I love them. From little old dears down at High Hurstwood. There's one in particular has the gift of encouragement. And I get a letter in the post. Do you remember post and stamps, writing to people? Don't ever forget the joy of opening up a letter and being encouraged. It's great. Everybody can be involved. And all of this is because Jesus will return. That's what we're told in the passage in that little section. So, this is what I want to focus on, is just the encouragement. Be encouraged to draw near to God. Hold unswervingly to the hope, verse 23, and spur one another on in faith. We're just going to finish with two sections. There's a warning here. And we could spend ages on this, but particularly, look back to the time of Moses and see the lessons that we should have learned then. How much more serious is it if we ignore Jesus? Look back to Moses, see the severity and the seriousness, verse 29. How much worse will it be if we trample the Son of God? If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, Jesus has come. We can't pretend that we don't know or have heard or had the opportunity to hear the gospel. The question is, don't go back, as the Hebrews were tempted to. Don't go back to the old Jewish ways. We don't need a priest. We don't need to give sacrifices. We just turn to Jesus. And don't deliberately keep on sinning, for the Lord will judge his people. And it is a dreadful thing, verse 31, to fall into the hands of the living God. What a salutary lesson. Christ died for sins once for all. He's not coming back to die for sins again. He will just come back as a judge. But as you and I read that, we go, but we still do sin. Lord, help us. But notice that word deliberately is very different. Deliberately keeping on sinning is not the feeling of, I've sinned, Lord, I want to repent and turn away from my rebellion and sin. God expects that, and we are perfect, as we were told last week by Adam, but we're also being made perfect. So we're a work in progress. But don't deliberately keep on sinning and turning away from Christ's sacrifice that has been paid once for all. Instead, persevere. That's where we finish. Persevere instead. Harlequin's motto is, I can't even pronounce it, I never sleep. I think that's quite appropriate. We shouldn't be caught sleeping. like the disciples. That was not a good thing. But actually, we should persevere. And notice how shocking the situation was that they faced. Look with me, verse 33, physical floggings. Verse 34a, prisoners. Verse 34b, they'd lost their properties. There was potential exile. This is what they were facing there and then. Well, of course, they would have been tempted to have just faded away, gone back to their old practices and forgotten about Jesus. But how can you? How can you go back when Christ has given us so much? In Christ, we have a godly upgrade, as it were. We have an access all areas pass. The end is in sight, verse 37. So persevere. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And at the end of the passage, it says, live what Christ has won for you, verse 39. Don't shrink back, but have faith. Don't be destroyed, be saved. Let us pray and ask for God's help, and that we may be today encouragers, spurring one another on, standing firm, and considering how we may delight in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of drawing near to you. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we have in Christ and be real encouragers for each other at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.